We'll try this old hymn.
Amen. Oh, where'd she go?
Come on up here and play it with us. You can't do no worse than we are. That's right. You'll do good. Well, this is a great old song. It's an old song the church has been singing for years. When we started out, we started out working with starting churches. We had to do everything.
Yeah.
Have to clean the floors and do the singing. Had to do it all. But we enjoyed doing it. But we're not singers. We just sang because it was necessary for us to do so. But our children started singing. They started singing with their mother. And then as time went by, you wouldn't believe it with Ricky, with the writing of the songs and all he's done. He was so backward. Mm-hmm. He would not get up before the public. He just was afraid. And so it took the Lord a while working with him to get him to where he would at least be willing to stand up and say what God had given him. We're going to try to sing verse 2 of this old song, I Need Thee Every Hour. Amen. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. All right.
Amen. You're a good girl.
Yeah. I appreciate the Lord blessing us this morning the way He did.
Amen.
I'm so thankful. I remember Brother Hall saying that today, he said, I remember what you preached last time you was here. Well, my mind's not that good. But I do remember preaching that great old message down through the years on the Valley of Dry Bones. Can these bones live?
Amen.
I'm thankful to God that the power of God can do anything He wants to.
That's right.
And I bless the Lord. I appreciate the morning service this morning. I appreciate you coming. I appreciate your faithfulness back here on a Sunday evening.
Amen.
To see this good number back in the house of God.
Amen.
That thrills my heart.
Yes.
So I know your pastor's thrilled whenever the people of God take the time and come to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
So we thank the Lord. I don't think I'm going to need this outline. But anyhow, I'm going to try to mind the Lord tonight. When Jesus was helping His disciples, I love to think about when He was calling them, when He was being a help to them to learn the process of following Him.
Right.
I want you to turn with me, if you will, tonight to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Chapter number 5. This is a time when the Lord is dealing with these fishermen. And I want to say this to you. When a message is preached here in this audience, a lot of times it seems like God helps everybody.
Yes, sir.
I'm thrilled when that happens. But then there are times when it seems like everybody goes home and they don't receive help.
Yep.
But one somebody,
yep,
somewhere out there,
yep,
God is speaking to.
Amen.
And I'm thankful to the Lord that He knows how to get the attention of that one that He wants to talk to.
Amen.
I'm just real glad that He can do that. I want to read one verse of Scripture for our kicking off verse. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. And it came to pass. Those are great words. That as the people pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God, He stood by the Lake Gennesaret. Lord, I'm glad that You pick places. I'm glad that You fix things where You can talk to us in any particular area of time that we're needed. I'm glad that You... Well, I'm glad here in this church here that You spoke to the man of God come here and stayed here for these many years. And all of us at our age, we're having problems with our health. But Lord, I pray that You would continue to bless this work. Thank You for calling Brother Shepherd to this work. And I pray Your divine and precious will be done in the heart and life of this people. And whoever You might want to single out tonight, help us, Lord. Say the words that we need to hear that will encourage our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Lord has been dealing with a man named Peter. He healed his mother-in-law. And he went into this desert places, and this tells us that he's not put into any kind of confining place. He can be anywhere he wants to.
Amen.
And then he went over to the synagogue. And in the synagogue, now his message is very clear. In fact, if you'll read the latter part of verse chapter number 4, the Bible said in verse 43 that he said unto them, I must preach. And that's what our Lord was.
That's right.
I know they looked at him and lifted him up as a great teacher. But Jesus was a preacher.
Amen.
And the Bible said he preached the kingdom of God to other cities also, and therefore am I sent. He's clarifying the fact of what his duty is.
Yes.
And he says here, he preached in the synagogue of Galilee. Somewhere drifting out of the synagogue over in Galilee, down by the lake Gennesaret. I don't know how far that is. But I know that the Lord particularly wanted to get in a particular spot. Where he stopped, the crowd is with him and they're pressing him according to verse 1. And what they're trying to do is they want to know more about the kingdom of God. They want to know more about this Word of God. They want to understand what He's saying, and they followed after Him. I don't know how many was there, but a great multitude of them were enthroned around Jesus. And what they did was, they put pressure on Him. And somehow or another, when, I don't know all the processes, a lot of times you read between the lines, but Jesus comes to that particular place. That place on the Lake Gennesaret, where Jesus wanted to instruct these people, where He could help these people, but where He had access to helping one person He had in mind.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that Jesus loves us enough that in spite of all that He's doing, He would keep in mind the process that God has for me and you? God's going to continue to work.
Amen.
That He might help us. Now I want to show you this. In the process of this, we have an audience of people here where Jesus by the lake is addressing. Now He's talking to this people about the kingdom of God. He is preaching, and He's preaching the Word of God, and they are absorbing it, and thank God that people do.
Amen.
And here they are, they're listening, and probably they think that they are the only ones Jesus is talking to. I guess we've been there in our lifetime.
Yes, sir.
But as the Lord is talking to them, I want to move to verse 2. The Bible said, and saw two ships standing by the lake. Now, the rest of the Word of God tells us that they were fishermen. And they were busy doing their duty. Now, I'll take you back for a moment. Fishermen fish at night. And in the Sea of Galilee, fish come up at night. The natural time to catch fish was in the night. And they were there. They had fished that night. And they got in and they were mending their nets. And they're washing their nets and they're getting their nets back onto the ship. And Jesus steps over and gets aboard Simon's ship.
Amen.
He is in particular interest to help him. And by the way, whatever it takes for God to get us into His work,
yep,
and to get us following Him, that's what we need to pray for.
Amen.
And here they are. They're mending these nets and finished the nets. And they thought, well, he's a great teacher. And we're going to sit around and absorb what he's saying and try to learn from him. And the Bible tells us, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out. And I want you to notice, please, if you will, it said a little, just a little, from the land. Now he's been talking to these people. The crowd's been pressing him that he would preach this message of the kingdom, help them to understand what the Word of God says, and it seems they are happy. We don't see where anybody got mad and left. They're all assembled around on the side of the lake listening to Jesus to find out what He's teaching them. And Jesus' emphasis is still on this crowd. He's preaching to this crowd. He's got His eyes focused on them. He's preaching to them, allowing Simon not to think that He's interested in him. The Lord's got ways that we don't have. He knows how to help us. And I want you to look at this. And He sat down. Now He's on board this ship
of Simon's. And the Bible said he sat down, and here's what the Bible said. He taught the people out of the ship. He had been teaching the people on land. He had been on the side of the Lake Gennesaret, and he's been instructing the people and helping the people. And he wants it clear that what he's been doing is helping everybody.
Yep.
He's been helping these people, teaching them the Word of God because it was their heart's desire that they hear what the Master had to say.
Right.
But look at this. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, I know you don't understand, but I ask you to move this ship out a little ways in the water. Mm-hmm. Now, let me stop and say this to you. There are some people that God has to get away from running.
Yep.
Amen.
There are some folks that God has to, you might say, confine them to their own circumstances.
Yep.
And there on board his own ship, he's asked him to move out just a little. Now, I like to think this is probably shallow water. This is not water where God is interested in helping us a lot of times. It's just a place where God wants to get us, where we are confined, where we can't maneuver any further in our own direction and stop and listen to Him and let Him talk to us.
Right. Yes, sir.
He's pretty confined right now. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, Simon, He said, I want you. Now, a lot of things can happen right here in this shallow water. I mean, I don't know how many people got help from the banks of that lake. And I don't know how many people got help from the shallow water. And I don't know exactly what Simon got from being confined to Jesus' presence in that shallow water. But I'm of the persuasion that he cannot do what he wants to do for Simon, for you, for anyone, until he gets us where He wants us.
That's right.
Where He can teach us what He can't teach. Jesus can teach you in the deep what Jesus cannot teach you in the shallow water.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm going to announce my title. We need to move out a little further in our life.
Amen.
It's not easy. When God calls upon us to take us, are you listening? Just a little farther. It's not easy to go a little farther. Oh, but the blessing it is if we'll just follow God. And I want you to see this. The Bible said that, here's what He said, launch out into the deep. Take us further, Simon. Take us out into the deep. And he said, when you get out there, said, let down your nets. We're going to catch some fish. Oh, my. Now, this is upsetting to the captain of the ship. But it's not too upsetting to the master of the sea. The master of the sea, probably in the night of last night, said, nobody gets on board the net tonight. Everybody stays in the deep. I'll need you. He's always had the animal world. I'll need you come tomorrow. And it won't be time for you to be there, but I want you whenever I want you. Wouldn't it be something if we'd obey God the way that these fish did? And they waited. They didn't come up because here's what I'm looking at. I want you to see this. Simon answered and said unto him, Master, now we have toiled all the night. And we've taken nothing. In other words, what Peter is saying, I'm a fisherman. You're not the fisherman. I'm the fisherman. Isn't it amazing that we think sometimes we know more than God? Isn't it amazing that we get in our mind and heart that the Lord's, He's making a move here, but it's not the best move. And I wish I could get across to the Lord what He needs to know about fishing. He's wanting us to launch out into the deep. He's wanting us to catch fish in the daytime. He's wanting us to do something that's contrary to what happens. He don't know. You get to the place where you'll say, I don't know what He's doing. I don't understand. I can't figure this one out. I don't know why God wants me to do something that just sounds like it just will not work. Isn't it amazing how the Lord puts us there? And the Lord said, Simon, all I ask you to do is be obedient. Follow me. Do what I say. And I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to teach these people watching something.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to get their eyes on what's taking place. And we're going to see the miracle of the kingdom of God. Yeah. God doing things surpassing all men's comprehension.
Amen.
Here's where we've got to live, though. Thank God Simon made the right words.
Yes, sir.
Here is what he said. In verse number 5, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down. Now watch this now, the net. Now our Lord has been careful to say to Simon, I want you to launch out into the deep and let down your nets. I really don't believe you're going to do it anyhow. I really don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. And I don't think this is going to work because I'm a fisherman and I know better. There's no way in the world we'll catch anything out here. But we'll drop one net. We'll see what one net will do. Oh, if we just learn to be obedient to God.
Amen.
And then the Bible said in verse 6, when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net, that's a single tense, their net break.
Yep.
Jesus told them it's going to take more than one net.
That's right.
Jesus told them, I'm going to do more than what you think I'm going to do.
Right.
Jesus told them, I'm going to take care of every need.
Yeah.
Last night you went broke, but today you've got everything.
Yeah.
In so much that here's what the Bible says. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and here's what the Bible says, I love this, filled both the ships so that they began to sink. God's got a way of breaking us. God's got a way of securing our heart that He is in control. He is in control of the fish. And the fish came up at an hour when they're not supposed to. They caught fishing. It's against the principle of fishing. It's against the rule of law concerning the Galilean fishermen. So here they are. And Peter sees that The greatest miracle he's ever seen took place right here in front of his eyes. I mean, in the daytime, contrary to everything. These two ships are sinking with the multitude of fish that the Lord is providing for us. We thought what couldn't happen anywhere. All right, watch this. Here's what the Bible said. Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me. You don't need to be around me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the drought of the fishes which they had taken.
Right.
Now, I won't take time, but over in John 21, this same crew was still with Peter. And Jesus had to deal with Peter again in John 21. And in the closing event, he was clearing up some things that Peter had made a mistake in his past. He learned that you don't count by anybody's fire but the Lord's.
Right. Amen.
But I want to say to you that here in this particular passage of Scripture, the Bible says, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the drought of fishes which they had taken." So here's the crew now. "So was also James, John, the sons of Zebedee." They are the very people that when Peter was upset over in John 21, nothing's working right. I mean, this is prior to Pentecost. And he's wondering if there's any way that God could ever use him anyhow. So he said, "I'll go a fishing." But here's what these other men did. They said, "We go with you. We go also." So what's happening here is, he's got a crew of followers that are following him.
Right.
So when Jesus gets Peter, he gets the crowd.
Right.
So when Jesus reaches the heart of the individual that he knows he's got to reach, when he gets on the right ship, goes out into the deep water, there are things that God can teach you in the deep, but he cannot teach you in shallow water. I'll close the message with this thought. The Bible said, "And so also James and John, sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men.'" I've not been trying to get you a payday. I've not been trying to help you to get a better fisherman or to give you a great income. I'm here to help you understand that there are things that God can do that you cannot muster up and try to do. You'll do your very best, but you will fail.
Yep.
Last night was proof of it.
Right.
But today, when it's impossible, it seems, for God to work, He can work. And I want to tell you that you can catch men just like you caught these fish.
Amen.
The Lord can help you to become the great soul winner that God wants you to be.
Amen.
He can help you to reach the... I remember when I got saved, I don't know why, but I had a sister, and she was a half-sister to me, and I had another little sister that was born. She was really... Nancy was no kin as far as me and my brother James were... We had the same father. We had different mothers. And his mother raised me after my mother died. And as time went by, when I got saved by the grace of God, one of the things that you'll have to remember, it'll help you to know whether or not you're really saved. If God put it in your heart for others to be saved, you can count on it. I'm going to tell you what God's going to do. If you got saved by the grace of God, He's going to burden you about somebody that needs to be saved. And when I got saved, I thought the whole world was supposed to be saved. I thought if I preached it, everybody would come to the altar. But it didn't work. But I did find out. I remember when I didn't preach for a little while, but I didn't know what I was doing, going out to the farm there. They called it a farm preaching. To inmates and all that were there. And in that prison, we saw some people get saved. But whenever I got burdened, and I mean I spent nights weeping and crying over my brother. And finally, my brother stepped out. I was sitting like on the end of the pew. He was sitting next to me. He got up. I moved back, and he went out. And he come to know the Lord that day. God's blessed him. He's been preaching for years now. Let me say to you, I don't know, I had a burden for all of our family. Nancy got saved later on. But my sister Jean, we used to come by every Christmas. We didn't get to see them. I was busy pastoring, starting churches and so forth. And a lot of times I didn't get to see her unless it was at Christmas time. And she'd always fix me one of those old coconut cakes. That's why I've got a sugar problem. And she would take, you know, stepmother used to break those things. We had to get the coconut out of the hull, grate it, and they'd take that juice and pour around on that cake layer. Oh, that's terrible. And they put that coconut around on it. And they did that three stories high. Oh my, it was good. And I'd go by every Christmas. And every Christmas I'd say to her, I said, Jean, I hope and pray that you'll see the light. You'll get saved. What makes you think I'm not as good? I said, I'm not talking about being as good as somebody else. Right. You may be better than me. But I said, the problem is not goodness. The problem is you being saved.
Right.
I talked to her husband about 3 days before he died. He had heart attacks, one behind another. And I really believe that he was sincere. I worked with a man that worked with Linwood. And that man was Randolph Ray. And I can remember where he came to his deathbed. And I told them, I said, listen, there's only one time in the Bible where we have a deathbed repentance to glorify God over. But I said, maybe God will, if you'll repent. And I saw both of those men, I really believe, get saved. Anyhow, I preached the funeral of my sister. She was not really my blood sister. But when we were little children, she was this tall and I was this tall. We didn't have beds to sleep in. We had that one bed. That's where I slept with her. And I can remember so many times going to her house at Christmas and warning her, the Lord wants you to be saved. Now, Linwood, I believe he got saved. Here you are, you married Jack, another man. And I said, I've witnessed and talked to Jack. But I said, why don't you give your heart to the Lord? I'm hoping. See, I told her exactly what she needed to do if she got to the place where she couldn't call me to come help. And I hope that she did that. And when I preached her funeral, when I got there, they said, you're preaching her funeral. I said, I wished I didn't have to.
And I preached her funeral and walked around and around that casket. And I kept saying, I couldn't help myself, I sure hope you give your life to Jesus. You see, that preacher, and I'm not throwing no stones, but that preacher just got up and told about the great membership that she had at their church. And how faithful she was. And I told him, I said, sir, I don't mean no harm to you, and I'm not trying to make no trouble for you. But I said, my sister didn't go to church. And she didn't live for God, and she didn't know the Lord unless she got saved on her deathbed. I didn't want to do that, but I had to tell the truth. And whenever the funeral was over, a black lady that worked with her at the job, she wrote me a letter like you wouldn't believe. Just page after page after page. Thank you, preacher, for telling the truth. I'm saved because you helped me. You won't reach them all. But the ones you can reach, you will not reach them without the power this brother talked about this morning, of God.
Amen.
You can help your friends. You can help your family. You can help your neighbors. You can help folks that are so far away from God and absolutely where you think they cannot receive any help. Some of them you'll say, no use to bother them in the condition they're living in.
Yep.
But go after them. Give them the chance
Amen.
To see the nets full.
Yes. Amen.
See God move again.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for coming. We'll get our sister, if you would, to come play for us. It may be possible that somebody here tonight knows people in your family, friends, people in your association, people on the job, neighbors around where you live, that you know it's almost an impossibility to catch. You'd be like Simon. You'd say, there's no hope. No use in us doing anything. But God can perform the miracle.
Yes, sir.
That you'll have to see your family saved and your people get to know God.
Amen.
Let's all stand together. Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart tonight and you feel like you ought to come to an old-fashioned altar of prayer. Somebody's on your heart tonight. Somebody needs the Lord. Somebody you know, it looks like there's impossible that we can reach them. Remember what Jesus said. And remember that you must say, nevertheless, Lord, at thy will, we'll do what you say. Thank you for those coming. Thank you. And if you have any need to come tonight, thank you for praying back there. Thank you for the opportunity of being able to call out to the Lord. Ask God to help you tonight. Ask Him to enthrone you with the miracle that's beyond us. Jesus, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the privilege to preach again this side of heaven. We thank You for the precious Word of God. And I don't know how many folk You helped out there in that field, but I know You helped some people aboard that ship. Do touch them, I pray. Help us, Lord, that we will insist upon going a little farther, trying to find the will of God in our life. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name.